Pastor Woodward, my friend, are you ready to go?
I am.
I always enjoy spending time with Brother Woodward. He reminds me, he's not old enough to be my dad, but I kind of look to him as my dad. He reminds me a little bit, if he was my dad, I probably got a lot more spankings, I'm guessing. And he don't know how to raise boys. He's just got all girls. And yeah. Anyway, I always like to hang around him because he reminds me a little bit of my grandpa. My grandpa just a little bit like that. And he's kind of built like my grandpa was and looks like my grandpa just a little bit. So I enjoy being around him. But I'm always interested in what he's going to say next. And and he always finds the best restaurants to eat at. And so anyway, but I've enjoyed him being a friend coming here. I enjoy him at our church. He's been a big help to us. And have you been helped tonight already? Yeah, it's been good, hasn't it? And so this is going to be the icing on the cake, all right? So Pastor Ward, you come and preach for us. He's going to have to leave right after the service tonight because he's a big-name preacher, and he travels a lot, and he's going to a bigger church with bigger offerings. And so don't bother him when he leaves. He's leaving right out, so don't bother him and let him go. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. He is leaving right after the church. He's got to catch a plane tomorrow. But anyway, but he's not. He's just a common folk, right? Yeah. So
I am just a boy from Wisconsin. This is my story. This is my song. I like that. I want to tell you, I came from a good Christian home. My mother was born in India, a missionary kid. My dad's parents got saved when my dad, just after my dad's brother died, who I'm Daniel Lawrence. Lawrence was my dad's second brother, and he died when they were young. And the preacher came by the day he died, and my grandfather ran him off and said, "Can't you see we're hurting folks?" And he didn't even know what he needed. And the preacher so graciously said, "I'll come back." And he came back later and led them both to Christ and led the family. My dad was raised in church, Baptist. My grandmother went to India and there met my grandfather, who was a Baptist, independent Baptist from Scotland. And they met on the mission field and were married. And of course, my mother was sent back to the States. We told the story about my mom when India broke out in war. They feared for the girls. But let me say this. In the will of God, your children are safer in the will of God than living right next door to you. Hello. But my grandfather died when my mother was young in the mountains. And she tells a story about how God just led her all the way. And my mother, very sweet, she's 86, and now we care for her 24/7. Somebody asked me, "Don't you ever travel with your wife?" And we do when we have a chance, but we've cared for 15 years for my mother. By the way, one of the things of marrying my wife was a question, how will you care for your parents or my parents if we were ever to get married? And I said, "Are you, Gabby, are you taking notes here?" And so she said, "I would care for them." When I was a little boy, I said, "I want to care for my parents." Because I saw the care they were for me. Just something that came to me as a little boy. And when I was looking for a wife, that was one of the things. How would you care? And we've cared for my mother's father. And he died of cancer. We cared for him. And then, of course, my mother-in-law is in great health, and I really pray she stays that way, that she doesn't have to come and live with us. And but my mother cared for my father, died 15 years ago. We cared for him. And then my mother now is my mother was hit when I was 5 years old by a drunk and crushed her hip, and she's just been an overcomer all her life. But one of the things, Bertie, we were talking about my mother, when she came back to the States, she lived in Rudolph, Wisconsin. That's north of Wisconsin Rapids. And lived on a farm with some relatives, and there she was molested by those relatives. And I said, Mom, how'd you ever overcome that? You know, her mother was in India, her dad was gone, and she said, Jesus led me all the way. She said, again, and my mother has never been bitter. She's been a blessing. And but I was raised in a good home. I got bitter about some things that happened in our youth group as a teenager. I was from a poor home at the time. My parents didn't become successful until I need to get some power. I'm kind of failing here. Hang on. You know, when the guy starts flailing his arms in the back, you know you're in trouble. Or he is. But my, I got bitter over some things. I was a poor kid, you know, and the other, we went to a fairly well-to-do church, and I would try to live for the Lord, and then I'd see all these other guys not living for the Lord, but on Sunday, they'd play the game. And I said, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. And I walked out and became, ran with the world. But I'm going to tell you, every night I laid my head on the pillow, I knew I was born again. I would cry myself to sleep. And as I got older, I was a fighter, a bartender. I worked with a band called Wings of Steel. They were backup band for Cheap Trick. And I saw that freak show often, many times. But I ran and did the sound and was involved in all that for many, many years. And then and fought and a bouncer in a bar. And then went into the military. And my family, when they wake me up, they get a broom and go in and poke me because I wake up swinging. I just do. I wake up swinging. I have dreams last night. I haven't had a dream about fighting in a long, it must be because I was with Brother Booth. And, but no, last night, someone was playing in our hallway and kept jangling our door and jiggled my door. And several times I got up to open and see who it was. And some kids were playing around jiggling my door. I don't know if that's what triggered it. But in the middle of the night, I was in a fight with three guys and I was losing. And I've been watching, I think, too much MMA, but I did this spin kick, kicked all three of them in the head and knocked them out and landed in the middle of the floor. My knee is skinned. If you don't, my knee is skinned up. Look at that. Knee is skinned up. And, my elbows are skinned up. And I landed. I said, what in the Woodward? What are you doing? And, many times my wife has come at me with a pillow. And said, wake up. You know, she has a pillow. Wake up. Wake up. Because, but again, I say all that. Everybody has a past. They do. And my life's theme is, I'm glad God uses a crooked stick. You know, for without me, ye can do nothing. And, you know, you have to be an over, I'm very burdened for those that are, to be an overcomer, those that, you know, I see so many people give up and quit, but just what you preached about. You know, burdens of life, and I've been talking about last night, every man shall bear his own burden. The biggest obstacle is to admit you have a burden and not run from your burden and grab a hold of it and say, God, I want you to use this for your glory. And again, when I got right with the Lord, my preacher had me up talking to young people and involved in drugs and alcohol and telling that story. And some kids came up and said, boy, I wish I had a testimony like that. And I wept and said, oh, I wish I had your testimony. I wish I had never broke my mom and dad's heart. And I wish I had never... this baloney of sowing your wild oats and you're going to... Listen to me, do you understand? Listen tonight, do you understand there's only one story in the Bible about a prodigal? Do you know how many went out there and young people listened to me into the world and never came back? I've pastored 36 years in Dwight, Illinois, and I've watched them. Very few ever came back. Once they're gone. But every man must bear his burden. But we looked at three things. We're going to look at the other two tonight. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, turn there with me. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I want you to look at it in verse 1. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here it is. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth his own self. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Listen to me. The burden, the stewardship of life's burdens is important, an important thing. To be a good steward. To teach our children how to be a good steward. Burdens are going to come. My middle daughter, Rebecca, had her second baby out in Ohio. They were assistant pastors. Now Micah is with Bible Tracks Incorporated, the director. And Becca, part of them coming back to the Midwest to live with us was that we could help Rebecca. She had had the baby and then was paralyzed right after having the baby. She got the cutest little redheads. I mean, they're twisters. They're so much fun. The old redheads. I tease them and give them a hard time. And, the littlest one that was born when she got paralyzed, it took about 7 months of her being at an age to come to me. I said, come see Papa. No. I couldn't bribe her with candy. Do you want some candy? No. She's meaner than a junkyard dog. And listen, my daughter Rebecca's my sweetest girl of all the girls. And don't tell my other daughters that. But anyways, finally one day, I won. I had a dilly bar. I said, boy, I like ice cream. Do you like ice cream? No. I said, I like ice cream. And then her sister came and climbed in my lap. And I said, would you like some ice cream? She said, next thing you know, that little one was right there. And from that day forward, she's always come to Papa. And I sing to him. I think I've sang this to you all before, but I have a song for my grandkids I wrote. It's a profound. It says, who is the most fun when I go to see him and I want to have some fun? The papas, the papas. The papas, the papas. And they carry on and they laugh and sing with me and we enjoy that. But a lot of fun. Of course, it's not original, but I like being a fiddler on the roof. But tonight, we begin to see that bear ye one another's burdens. First of all, if you don't first deal with your own burdens, there's no way you can help someone else to bear their burdens. You've got to bear yours up. And by the way, your burden may be your, God's trying to teach you how to bear another person's burden. And yet we squall and bawl through it all as God's trying to do a work. Our duty is to share the burdens of others. It's the law of Christ, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Right. Amen. Scripture here is setting, and it takes things. If you're not careful, you take things out of context. And it's very easy in chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Listen to me. This is probably the most neglected task in life. Do you understand that this church is a spiritual hospital where wounded people come in? You know, the danger of a church's size is we get the attitude, it's us four and no more.
Yep, you're right.
Preacher, you know what I get excited about? When I'm out shaking hands, when I'm out shaking hands and greeting people and I smell cigarettes on them. I get excited. Because they could be lost. They're gonna get saved. They're gonna grow in grace and that's potential member. And listen to me. If we don't get back to loving sinners, we're in trouble. Instead of rejecting them. Man, people are a mess. I'm gonna tell you, we've got to, people come carrying grace. They come through that door for a reason because they may be drawn by the Spirit of God. I know this one. I went to get right with God. My preacher, Dr. Petrick, my pastor, man. Listen, he thought I was a lion when I came through. Some of you, there's a picture of me all cleaned up in here. I'm cleaned up. And let me see if I can find it. I showed somebody earlier a picture of my wife and I, but I had a big old long hair and a beard. I bet I ain't gonna be able to find it. Anytime you go looking for something, you don't find it. But I had a long old beard and long hair. I had hair. Now I guard them one at a time. And they're very precious to me. But I had a long old beard. Here it is. Here it is. Here's just a picture of my wife and I. You know, just to give you a sample of, and that's cleaned up. I had been right with God for a little while, and by the way, this was a year and a half prior to going to Hiles Anderson College. Hello, that's I don't know. This guy right here, again was Grizzly Adams, they thought, but again, God does a work. God does a work. And the most neglected task here is about being spiritual enough. Not that I'm, here's what we want to say, ye which are more spiritual. We want to add that little more in there. Listen to me. By the grace of God, I'm not better than anybody. And neither are you. For us to look down on people. We forget where we came from. We forget. Now, hey, not time to pray. Look up here. Some of you, I get real close to getting on what's going on in your life, and immediately you're looking away and not paying any attention. Pay attention. But the other day, you like this. The other day, I look around and a whole bunch of people didn't have their Bible. And I just throw a fit. We bring our Bibles to church. Hey! And one of the, we had a visitor who was a mother-in-law to Brother Todd Lofbaum. And she came up to me after church. She said, "Preacher, I'm sorry I forgot my Bible, but can I say this? I still think you have that bouncer in you." I said, "Ma'am, same old crowd. Why wouldn't I?" Hello? Same old crowd. Hey. Thank God for the sheepdog that gets after you, hey? Listen to me, the most neglected task of all. If any man be overtaken in a fault, criticize him, denounce him, throw stones at him, talk about him. No, it says restore. If you knew the tears that I've shed as a pastor, and this pastor, trying to help restore people. Trying to glue things back together. I'm glad that, you know, that grace is the glue that holds everything back together. I love it. The grace of God. The grace of God. I'm talking about those who have fallen in the cracks or fallen by the wayside, who were once faithful, now on the sidelines. You know what bothers me? How we become Pharisees because we forget where we come from.
Yep. Exactly right.
I love old rock and rollers to get saved. I do. I love listen to me. I know the lyrics to every rock and roll song you can ever imagine. It's horrible. It's here. It's in here. But I love seeing them old rock and rollers get saved. Hey, I have more tattoos in my church than you could ever imagine. I love it. I love them to come in. I'm not picking on y'all at all. I'm just telling you, I pick on them. I love it. Hey, listen to me. I love it. I love it. I have some rough old gals that you'd never know until you saw a few of their tattoos. They try to cover up a little bit, but everyone says they're working at football camp or all, and you'll see it. And some of you Pharisees, you get all so, no, come on. But you, here's me. But by the grace of God, there go I. No, come on. There go I. There go I. Oh, don't miss where we're going with this tonight. You see, we'll never get over our burdens, or we'll never understand our burdens until we grab hold of the work of the Christian life is others. Others. Listen to me, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about others. This church's going to grow. We're going to have to reach others. We're going to see co-workers and people. Preacher, we're experiencing some tremendous growth. But I got a couple of new Christians bringing people in. I said, preacher, talk to this. They got talk to these people. They need to get saved. I love it. I love it. Young Christians and new blood. But I wonder what happens to us old Christians. We get satisfied. We get satisfied. Now, this spiritual restoration is very powerful because it goes on to say, lest thou likewise be tempted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see, the very thing you're condemning them for and criticizing them for is going to come back on you. It's going to come out.
That's right.
You know what I find about people, preacher, that are accusing and pointing people at others? They're usually setting up a smoke screen because either they're into pornography. They got problem in pornography, or they're doing this or that. I've seen it over. And by the way, pornography is a problem. You young men, you better make a covenant with your eyes. It's everywhere. It pops up all over the place. Never have I seen it before. Let's going on today. But again, we have got to be spiritual to be able to lift up. Listen to me. This must be the mindset that we are stewards of these burdens that come our way so that we can help somebody else. But what hinders us from being a steward of life's burdens? Let me give you some words. Selfishness. Pride. Carelessness. Blindness. Being blind to spiritual truth. We must learn to carry other people's burdens. Remember I said there's three things that talk, only three places in the Bible that talks about burdens. One is you got to carry your own burden. Secondly, you got to help somebody else. But the best of all is what I want to get to right now. Turn to Psalm chapter 55. Boy, I like this. You ought to mark this in your Bible. You ought to mark it and you ought to hang on to it. Because it's a wonderful, wonderful scripture, a wonderful promise. Chapter 55 and verse 22, are you there yet? Did you see Brother Booth get under conviction tonight after Brother Woodward, made comment last night about, jumping off? He just pulled up real quick and said, oh, I have to hurry so Brother Woodward can get up here. Oh, he got caught, folks. He got caught doing. He blamed it on me. I saw that. Here's what I have in my Bible. A big old P circled. That stands for promise. Whenever I see that in my Bible, I'm coming up on a promise. a promise. Look at it. At 55 verse 22, it says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." This is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. David penned this word as he was fleeing from a mad king trying to kill him. And his heart was right. David had two opportunities to kill him and didn't. His heart was right towards the king. Yet the king couldn't get it through his head that David was a loyal subject. Look at verse 6. Chapter 55 and verse 6. "Oh, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Oh, listen to me. David was saying, if I could just escape this, if I could just escape and run away, but I'm going to tell you, you can run from your burdens, but there is a place where you can take your burdens. The word here is cast. Cast. Brother Rick Bevins is a tremendous bass fisherman. He taught me how to... I've fished all my life. I've been a Wisconsin crappie, a northern, or, you know, I could cast out there and reel in a spoon or jig for crappie but bass, I just never had anybody take time to teach me. And Rick taught me how to pitch that bait right into all these spots where they're hung up, little stumps or little under a branch, how to swing it and put it right in there. And by the way, I was not fun to fish with starting to learn, because we'd have to go get my lure out of the stinking tree, and Rick was very patient with me, but he taught me how to cast. To be exact the spot, and all of a sudden I start catching that fish, them bass, and boy, is it fun. I love bass fishing. It's fun. But listen to me, if I would have never learned to cast, I would have never learned the joy that it was in catching those fish. But I'm saying, when I learned to cast my burdens upon the Lord, I also learned that He will sustain me. The word sustain means to be held up, to be supported with a foundation that will keep you from falling. Now He does this in two ways. He will take your burden away. He can take the burden away anytime He wants. And I've seen God take burdens away. And sometimes, secondly, He will let you go to the Garden of Gethsemane. "Master, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He may take the cup away, but He may not. Then, of course, there was Paul. You talked about Paul. Paul prayed with a burden. He wanted this thorn in the flesh. We pray, yet the burden is still there, and most often this is the case in life. Then He promises to come with divine reinforcement to help us to bear our burden. Paul had this reinforcement, as God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He said, "My grace is sufficient." I wonder tonight, is God's grace sufficient for you?
Yeah.
You told me the story of Little John. He's in the Marines. He was out doing something in a maneuver or whatnot, and slid down a hill. And when they fell in to report, the boys were all trying not to giggle as they're standing there, because John's all dirty and the rest are all clean. And of course, the drill sergeant said, "You know, Booth, what's your problem? What happened?" And he said, I fell going down a hill and kept sliding, and that's why I'm dirty." And so protocol is that he has to go check in. because they want to see if he's hurt or if it was on purpose to try to get out of the military. And so he had to go see one of the psych officers, and she said, Tim, tell the story real quick.
So she said, do you want to get out of the Marines? He said, absolutely not. I'm here to become a Marine. I don't get out of the Marines. And she said, wow, really? I haven't heard that for 3 months. That's refreshing.
Hello? Hello? Folks, his grace is sufficient. The world, the cycle babble of our day knows nothing about sufficient grace. His grace does not say shall be sufficient. It says, but is sufficient. Here now, ever presence, never failing. No matter where you go, no matter what you're going through, my grace is sufficient for you. From that time on, we never hear Paul mention that again. He never brings up the thorn in the flesh. Some people say it was his eyes. Some people say it was his stature, his walking or cripple. We don't know because it doesn't tell us what is it. It doesn't matter. What matters is God's grace was sufficient. And it's still sufficient today. Whatever your burden is, cast it upon him. You've learned a sweet secret tonight about casting. So we gotta face our burdens, no matter what it is, no matter what's going on. We gotta face them because God may be teaching us to help somebody else. I've talked about Jane Colvin losing her husband. Again, I talk with Jane today, and again, she said more than ever before, even though it hurts so bad, I always wind up back at his grace is sufficient. In the world of burdens and battling, you and I go through, we are to cast our burdens upon him. Whatever your burdens, whether your burden of sin, a burden of grief, of doubt, of disappointment, of regret. Hello? Of fear of failure, I don't want to fail. Here it is tonight, and I'm done. Dare to cast your burdens upon the Lord of glory. Cast them today and forevermore upon the Lord. And become a steward. I love this song. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. I wonder if he's well known to you today. My burdens, I'm going to run to him with my burdens. Or are you the kind of person that carries your burdens so everybody can see I got a burden? Can't you see I got a burden? I can't help anybody. I preach, I expect me to do anything when I carry this heavy burden. Jane, do you know that Jane's not walking around? Can't you see I lost my husband? She's the executive secretary of football camp. We met with her for almost two hours this morning going over things, and she was clicking just as normal as could be. But yet we'd stop and have to check up because there'd be tears in the middle of something because a memory or things happen. But she didn't quit. She didn't use that as excuse. What's your excuse for not serving God? What's your excuse for not helping others? Bear your own burden. Bearing one another's burdens and casting all your cares. Listen to me, this week you're going to have some burdens. If it's not this week, it's next week. They're going to come. Amen. You know, I mean, how many times in my life I said, Brother Booth, I didn't see that coming. By the way, I didn't see Jesse Colvin dying coming. Yep. I had just visited him. He was sedated. I know something about dealing with those that are in a coma, that they can hear you. By the way, you go to see somebody in a coma, don't just stand there and, no, talk to them. Tell them you're here. Tell them what's going on. I've had people come out of a coma and say, "Preacher, I remember you talking. I heard your voice and I heard you talking."
Yeah.
Then I mess with them and say, I never came to see you. The nurse said, "He's in a coma. He doesn't know what's going on at all." I said, "Jesse, I love you. I'm going to leave in a little bit." And all of a sudden, he squeezed my hand. I said, "Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on, lady. He just squeezed my hand." Here's her thing. "Oh, that was just a reaction." Yeah, to what I was saying. Hello? I didn't know that within 24 hours, he'd slip out into eternity. That he'd slip out and be gone. That I would catch a 55-gallon drum of tears. God has a plan. And God's going to take that young lady and he's going to help. She's going to help people along the way for many years to come. Because she's going to understand what deep hurt is about, what heavy burdens are about. And the main thing she learned is, "My grace is sufficient for thee and it's sufficient for you." I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, we talked about burdens because they're so prevalent. Every one of us have to deal with burdens. I think maybe financial burdens. It may be a burden for a wayward child. I remember walking in, and I lived with my parents for a little bit till they put me out. And I remember sneaking in one night, and I was messed up, and I don't know, my mom turned the volume up, but she was praying, "Oh God, help my son to get right. Oh mercy. By the way, when I got right with God, she was the first one I ran to. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's health issues. One of my dearest ladies is going through chemo. I went to see her Sunday afternoon and see her husband, and then Sunday night, her husband went in the hospital, and she had to go to Chicago for chemotherapy, and he was in the hospital with gallbladder, and luckily was not serious, but still, they're 86. They carry some burdens. Whatever it is tonight, why don't you quit running from it? Why don't you quit denying it? Why don't you accept it? Pick it up and say, "You know what? God's probably brought this for me to help others." Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe tonight you need to come to Christ. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Let's pray. Father, you know the hearts. Father, may we not linger. Lord, whatever that besetting sin that's really been a burden to us because we can't get to victory. But Lord, we can do all things through Christ. Father, tonight I beg of you to do a work. Help us. Whatever that burden is, whether it's health, loved ones, wayward, Lord, tonight we're going to pick up our burden. And then we're going to look for somebody else that's carrying a burden and help them. And along the way, we're going to cast our care upon you, for you careth for us. Father, bless the invitations only thou can do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the pianist begins to play, come on, come on, come on. Burdens are coming. Don't sit in your seat.